You know, this has been a great journey because this is very deep, very deep. And really understanding the Hebrew roots of Romans and seeing that, you know, Romans is not just a Christian book, but it's a book for everyone who believes in the Messiah. Amen? Amen. And it's also, beyond that, a book to future believers. And so with that, we hit one of the key verses about God's plan of salvation. And so that's a good thing. But, you know, looking at Romans 6 and verses 19 through 23, just wanted to note out a few things and some things that I have learned from this. And I hope that you can learn from it as well. And that the lessons that we learned today, we can carry forward. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted to start at the beginning of that passage there. It says, I am speaking in human terms because of the frailty of your flesh. Just as you once offered the parts of your body as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater disobedience, so now in the same way you must offer the parts of your body as slaves to righteousness that leads to sanctification. So that I want to talk a little bit about a translation note here regarding to greater and greater disobedience. I find that doesn't line up with the Greek, where the Greek is says anomia es te anomian, which means anti-Torah. Think of lawlessness there. So what he's saying is, you know, to lawlessness and to more or increased lawlessness. Anti-Torah-ness. And that's where we've got the ah, which is the negative of nomia. And so think Torah-less and increased Torah-less there. And when I think about Torah-lessness, I immediately thought of what's written in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10. It says, the coming of the Torah-less one will be accompanied by the power of Satan. He will use every kind of power, including miraculous signs, lying wonders, and every type of evil to deceive those who are dying, those who refuse to love the truth that would save them. So really the point here is that when someone is anti-Torah, they are submitted to Satan. Yeah. You are submitted to the power of Satan when you turn your back on the Torah. And this power keeps them focused on Satan's what? His false lies, right? His deceptions, his signs and wonders. Yeah. And so, really here is that, you know, the things of Satan, the anti-Torah things, are completely contrary to the truth and the love of God. And so, when we've got that anti-Torah-ness going in us, that's something from Satan. And so, the lesson here is that we are to no longer submit to Satan and his Torah-less ways. But rather, we should submit to the righteousness of God and focus on His sanctification. Now, in the United States, we don't like to submit to anybody, do we? No, it's all about me, right? Rugged individualism. You know, you didn't build that, I built that. You know, all this stuff that's going on out there. But really, when you look at things on a spiritual level, we ask, who are you subject to? Now, I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, this folk singer claimed to have a relationship with the Lord. And he wrote this song called, You Gotta Serve Somebody. You know, it's Bob Dylan, remember? Yeah. It might be the devil, and it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. You know, you can't understand what Bob says half the time anyhow. But what a great point is because we do have to serve somebody. And when we are serving ourselves, really, who are we serving? We're serving Satan. Yeah. But when we submit to God and serve God, we're serving Him, right? And that's when we are living, remember, in nomos, but Torah, we're living in the Torah. Not a nomos, not anti-Torah. And so we need to remember that. And we have to remember that we make a conscious choice daily, right? If someone chooses to let their evil desires master them, then they are not responsible in regards to God's commands, and the consequences of that choice is that they don't receive the benefits and rewards. Think about it. You know, if you serve the adversary, God is not going to bless you. If you serve the adversary, God is not going to reward you. If you serve the adversary, God cannot protect you. But on the other hand, we do have a consequence of another choice. We have the consequence of the choice to serve the Lord. And in that, we have the freedom to do the good things that are found in the Torah and receive the benefits of God. And so I would really recommend it, if you really want to learn about this on a really deeper level, read Leviticus chapter 26. Because in Leviticus chapter 26 and Vayikra, we see the first section of that: to those who love God and guard His commandments and follow the things, He promises blessings. He promises that enemies will be defeated. He promises all these things for those who just, hey, I'm a slave to righteousness. Woohoo! Yeah, and it says, you know, one will chase hundreds. That's amazing if you think about it in a military term. You know, let's ask our local Marine here. One guy chasing 100 out of a battle zone, you're assured a victory on that.
You're assured high rewards from
every level. Amen. But looking on the other side of things, what does God's word say for those who don't, who are not slaves to His righteousness, but are slaves to the adversary? He says, hey, your enemies are going to rout you. You're not going to be taken care of. And so, and then with that, it talks about, you know, at the end of the chapter, what to do to get those things right. But we each have a choice to make. And when the Apostle Paul writes in the Scripture, you know, daily work out your salvation with fear and trembling, it doesn't mean you cannot lose your salvation. What it means is that we daily need to, you know, make that choice when our feet hit the ground. Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to serve? And so, you need to remember that. So I recommend a good way to start out. Sometimes I'm lying in bed and I'm just like, oh, hey, the alarm clock's not going to go off for a couple minutes. I don't reach over and grab the remote and start seeing the news. What I do is I make that conscious decision. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to lift my hands and praise You today, Lord. Before I even get out of bed, thank You for another day. Thank You for a wonderful family. Thank You for a wonderful place to live. Thank You for snuggly cats. Because you know, they all invade my wife and my bed at night. There doesn't fail. All three of them are up there. And I tell you, it's kind of hard to wake up in the morning when you got 50 pounds of cat sitting on you, you know. But with that, you know, thank God for the blessings, for the cars, for my brothers and sisters here. And that really helps me make the right choices during the day. And, you know, and I know that some people don't hit the ground running that way. My wife is not a person that can hit the ground and say, okay, I'm up, boom, Bible reading, my brain is sharp and focused. It takes her a little while. It takes her that first cup of coffee. But that's okay. But as long as, you know, whatever it is to get your brain cognitively thinking, and then you get into that word. Yeah. Well, some people like it black. you know, some people like espresso. Oh, man. And but with that, you know, whatever it takes, so that way you can clearly read the Word of God so you can get your marching orders and instructions. So you can go out and be blessed. Amen. And it's interesting. There's a translation note I want to point out to you on this passage. It says, for when you were slaves to sin, you were free as far as righteousness was concerned. What benefit did you get from doing those things you are now ashamed of? And that word benefit in the Greek is karpos. Sounds like a Passover term, right? The parsley, karpos. Yeah. But karpos in Greek means fruit. So reading this again, what fruit did you get from doing those things? And, you know, I think about fruit. And I have to ask myself this question. Is there a benefit or fruit that is noted by a person's service to the Torah? God has a promise regarding that. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11 says, now the Torah of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul. If your soul has been torn apart, God's Torah will restore it. Amen? The testimony of Hashem is sure, making wise the simple. Yeah, you might not be the brightest crayon in the box, but God gives us wisdom when we ask for it, right? The precepts of Hashem are right, rejoicing the heart. There is joy that's in our heart when we do the things that God wants us to do. And it's something that the world can't explain. The commandment of Hashem is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know, they say that the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, if you've got the commands of God in your heart, people are going to be able to see that because you're out there loving others and loving Him. And you will be encouraged by that as well. You will be generous. Because remember that we, think about that passage in Scripture where it talks about the good eye and the evil eye. In Judaism, a stingy eye or an evil eye is always closed. I don't want to look at those hurting people over there. No, I don't want to see them. But a generous eye, what, it's always open, saying, "Hey, how does God want me to bless these people? How does God want me to pray for these people?" You know, and generosity doesn't mean that somebody's got their hand out and you're putting 20 bucks in their hand. Many times, generosity is where we see a need and we say, "Hey, you know what? I know someone who can meet that." Really, who's that? God, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. And I'm hearing words out there from different places about how there's houses of worship who's saying, you know, they're not giving out anymore like money, but what they are is they're sending people out into the streets to pray for people, to be generous with the benefits of God. And people are getting healed from cancer. I mean, testimonies of, you know, people, I was walking down the street and this guy was praying and I just walked through his shadow and all of a sudden I was healed. That sounds like the Scripture to me. That sounds like the power of the Holy Spirit to me. I'm excited and I pray that we can get aboard that train. Amen? Yeah. Where we're actively looking to just be generous with the commandments of God with other people. Continuing here in Psalm. The fear of Hashem is clean, enduring forever. So think about that. Now the fear here, it's not like, "Oh, I'm afraid of God and I took a shower." But when you respect God, you understand the difference between cleanliness and uncleanliness, right? Between holiness and unholiness. What we talked about in the Torah portion about, hey, you know what? It's defilement to use God's things for other purposes, right? Where when we respect God, we understand being clean so we can approach God in regards to holiness. And that is everlasting. Amen. The judgments of Hashem are true. They are righteous altogether. God knows the truth, right? He's every place. You know, no one's going to stand before God and say, "Oh, I didn't do that. God, you made a mistake." God can't be God unless He's perfect. And so His judgments are true. And they're righteous. They're tzaddik. Now listen to the conclusion here, because we talked about, is there a benefit or a fruit? The Scripture encourages, it says, "They are more to be desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned." We are warned by the Torah, right? And what we shouldn't be doing. But listen to the benefit. "And in keeping," there's that word again, keeping, shomer, guarding from corruption, right? "In keeping them, there is great reward." So, you know, when it comes to riches, when it comes to things like that, when it comes to things that taste sweet in our mouth, and I've had honeycomb, and it's so good. But you know what's to be more desired than that? The Word of God. And you know what? We're warned by the Word of God. But also, and here's the encouraging part, we're rewarded because God's Word says it's going to happen, right? And that doesn't mean necessarily stuff here. Like Rabbi Lewis was talking this morning that, words of life doesn't mean that, God's going to get me a Maserati. I don't know why you said Maserati. I would have chose a Ferrari, but it's okay. You know, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Yeah. Adonai, Adonai, you know. Yeah, you know, with that, that's not what he's talking about. We get to be blessed by God because we're serving him. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and look at this last portion here of Romans chapter 6. It says, "But now that you've been freed from sin and have become God's slaves, the benefit, the fruit," right? The karpos, "the fruit that you reap is sanctification." Yeah. Set apart for God, right? Yeah. That's the benefit, that's the fruit, and the result of being sanctified, the result of being redeemed, the result of having the Passover lamb's blood applied to your heart and being cleansed from your mistakes, the result of that is eternal life. And the scripture continues, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in union with Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai," with Jesus Christ our Lord. Rabbi Simeon taught that everyone has a choice and can go one of two ways: to serve the evil inclination or to serve God. When a person chooses to put his evil inclination to death by actively refusing to do its evil bidding, this person chooses to make God his master and thus is freed from the mastery of this evil inclination. What a great point Rabbi Simeon had here. And, you know, think about this. When we die to sin through our baptism, through our immersion, right, in Yeshua's death and resurrection, God gives us free grace and cleanses us from this evil inclination through His Spirit. And that's a capital S on Spirit. His Spirit of holiness, right? We have the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of holiness. And that person is granted a newness in life to perform deeds of righteousness, which are the fruit that is worthy of repentance. Fruit worthy of repentance? Yeah. We see Yohanan the Immerser, John the Baptist in Matthew 3:8. He's quoted as saying, "Produce fruit that is consistent with repentance." Which really says, hey, you know what? If you've given your life to God, you're going to act like it. You know, people are going to know you by your fruit, by what's going on in your life, not by your stuff, but by your fruit. Well, what's the fruit? Well, you know, people who we can influence to the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God. People who we can encourage for the kingdom of God, right? Passing on the things that we have learned and entrust them to others so they can pass them on as well. The good news, sharing the good news, that's fruit, right? That's good karpos. Yeah, good fruit. So, I'm putting you guys all on work notice. What? What are you talking about, Rabbi? Work notice. Note that every one of us can work our way into hell. The wages of sin is death. You know, when we go to work, I mean, Richard, do you really like going to Stater Brothers all night long? Or is there a benefit to being there? We get a paycheck, right? So the paycheck for sin is death. We work our way into hell. But notice this. But the work that is done for us by Yeshua, yeah, He does the work so we can go to heaven, right? He gives us the free gift. Notice it doesn't say gift. And you know, if a gift has an attachment, is it really a gift? You know, I think of these commercials on TV, they really try to get people semantics. But wait, don't order now. We have this free gift included for you. It's like, so if I call up and ask for the free gift, do I have to buy the other stuff? Well, yeah, so there's strings attached, so it's really not a gift, is it? You're purchasing it, and you know the wizards of smart have figured out the cost of that, so they're not giving you something just to give it. You have to buy it to get it. So our society, especially those who watch too many infomercials, you know, we've kind of lost focus on that. You know, and Chris and I always joke around because they'll come on TV, you know, and with that, and it's just like, oh, is that all I get? You know, we know how to time it pretty close. Is that all I get? But wait! Just pay shipping and handle, and we'll include two of the, Forgive-O-Matics or whatever they're giving out, you know? And so we need to remember that salvation is free. There are no prerequisites to receiving the gift that God has. All we have to do is believe and then receive. And then as a result of our faith, we will go out in truth, right? Because with that, going out to others, we're producing fruit that is in line with repentance. Very important to remember. So the question for today is, are you working your way to hell? Or are you producing fruit? Oh, you guys are fruity. Well, that's okay. We're also a little nutty too, right? But you know what? We want to be on fire for the Lord, and we want to see fruit produced. And when we see a brother or sister producing fruit, what is our job? Is it to tear them down? Is it to be envious? Is it to go out and slander them? No. It's to go out and encourage them. Hey, I see some great fruit going on. Keep going, brother. Keep going, sister. You know? God's going to water you. God's going to grow you. Keep doing the right thing. And so let me encourage you with this. Because I know where you guys are at in the room today. You guys are in the fruit producing business. Right? Yeah. So let's go out and continue to make that daily choice to produce the good fruit that is consistent with repentance. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment.